This is a true story taken from an actual medical file.
If you had pneumonia or measles, you could bet you would die of pneumonia or measles, and there'd be no bones about it.
His name was Hans Sauer. He was born of a Huguenot family in Smithfield, in the Orange Free State. He studied medicine under Sir Joseph Lister at Edinburgh and qualified in 1881. Attracted by the diamond fields, he reached Kimberley during the Cape smallpox epidemic in 1882, and at the age of 25, accepted the appointment of quarantine officer on the Modder River. For more than a year, he examined, quarantined, and vaccinated all travellers, from High Court judges to would-be miners, without any legal authority. But he did stop the smallpox reaching Kimberley. Then, the following year,
whilst I was visiting the Barberton goldfields, I received a telegram from Kimberley, sent at the request of the Cape Government, informing me that smallpox had broken out in Kimberley, and asking me to return without delay.
And so the young doctor climbed aboard an uncomfortable postcard to make the return journey to Kimberley, completely unaware that he was about to be unceremoniously pitched into a war. A smallpox war.
Medical File. Factual stories of the men and women whose vigilance guards our lives. A reconstruction of clinical case histories, step by step, with the doctors who were there. Medical File.
Upon his arrival in Kimberley, at his sister's house, Sauer was greeted by Fred Stowe, a leading lawyer and next-door neighbour.
Tell me, Hans, what do you think of this?
Well, what is it? I mean, apart from being a small piece of pink paper, hardly anything to get so excited about.
Read it.
The disease at Felstead's farm is not smallpox. It is a bulbous disease of the skin allied to pemphigus. Signed Doctors Jamieson, Matthews, Crook, Rutherford, Harris and Wool.
Well, what do you make of it?
I don't know. I didn't even know there was sickness at Felstead's farm. Now, give me some more details, then I might have some idea of what it's all about.
Well, about a week back, the mounted police on patrol duty stopped a gang of Africans coming in from Portuguese East, and some of them were sick. Looked like smallpox. After all, there is an outbreak in Lorenzo Marx.
Yes.
Well, these Africans admitted that some of their friends had died of the disease on the way from Lorenzo Marx, so the police stopped them about 8 or 9 miles out of the town, on a farm belonging to a man named Felstead. They were isolated in an empty house, at least the sick ones were. The others were placed in quarantine. Well, as I said, we all knew that there was smallpox in Portuguese territory, where the men had come from. So when the civil commissioner heard about it, he asked for a report.
And?
Well, the top medical men went out, had a look. Jamieson, Grimmer, Otto, Murphy, Matthews, Crook, and Rutherford Harris all went out there.
What did they say?
They all agreed it was smallpox.
You sure?
Absolutely. Look, I saw Jamieson myself just after he got back. He told me there was no doubt. He even said there were 2 or 3 beautiful cases.
And that was why they sent for me.
Well, you're one of the few medical men roundabouts who's really had anything to do with smallpox recently.
I don't understand. If they've identified the disease as smallpox, why are they now denying it? And what's this reference to pemphigus?
That's what I was hoping you'd tell me. What is it?
Pemphigus?
Yeah.
It's a rare skin disease.
Does it look like smallpox?
No. Not the case I saw. Though I must admit I only ever saw one. That was in the Royal Infirmary in Edinburgh.
Well, what does it look like?
The patient I saw had 2 or 3 watery spots, about the size of walnuts. The disease isn't fatal and it isn't contagious.
Then you don't think that this paper is correct?
Well, I can't say definitely till I've seen the patients. I doubt it very much.
It's signed by some very influential people. But have you noticed the wording? It doesn't say it is pemphigus. It says...
A bulbous disease of the skin allied to pemphigus. Well, that could mean anything.
Quite.
Just a lawyer to notice that.
Even so, I can't help feeling that they're playing a dangerous game. What will you do?
First, I shall go and see for myself.
Next morning, Hans Sauer drove out to Felstead's farm, taking with him his friend Dennis Doyle, who was also the sanitary inspector.
sick men are in here, Hans.
It's smallpox, all right.
How can you tell? You haven't seen any of the cases yet. You haven't even stepped inside the door.
I don't need to. I can smell it. It's smallpox.
Hans Sauer reported back to Mr. Judge, the civil commissioner.
I drove out to the farm and inspected the cases.
And what did you find, Dr. Sauer?
It's smallpox, without any doubt. There are typical cases ranging from the mild to the fatal.
Well, absolutely no doubt.
None at all. There's nothing abnormal about the cases. It's smallpox, pure and simple.
Well, I will forward your report to Cape Town, Dr. Sauer. But I should point out that the weight of medical opinion is against you.
There may have been doubt in Kimberley. There was none in Cape Town. A reply came back at once appointing Hans Sauer medical officer of health and instructing the commissioner to take his advice in all matters affecting the epidemic. Mr. Doyle helped form a squad of sanitary police, and a makeshift hospital was erected about 3 miles outside Kimberley. The cases from Felsett's farm were removed to the new hospital. However, many of the inhabitants and doctors still refused to admit the disease was smallpox.
Reports are coming in from all the fields, more each day. There's no doubt we've got an epidemic on our hands.
But I still won't accept it.
No. There's a deliberate campaign to keep it quiet. Look at these figures. Reports from some compounds and not from others.
Really?
Yes. And I'll let you guess which compounds are apparently free from smallpox.
The compounds visited by the gentleman who signed the pink slips of paper.
Yes. Doyle, I want permission to get into those compounds. In fact, I want right of entry anywhere at any time.
Oh, I can't do it.
Why?
First, there isn't a law covering this kind of thing.
But these men, these doctors, are breaking the law. They aren't notifying authorities of infectious disease.
They don't have to.
But
there's no law that says they must.
But that's criminal.
Oh, maybe. But it is the law.
Then we shall never get rid of smallpox. Don't they realize that if they carry on like this, they're condemning one-third of the inhabitants of Kimberley to a foul death?
Hans wrote a full report on the question to the sanitary board without result. He carried on his work as well as he could, but he felt that he was beating the air when an event occurred which did liven things up a bit.
Ah, Hans, I've been looking for you all morning.
I've been at a special meeting of the sanitary board.
Special meeting?
Yes, I called it. I got a report that a large mine compound at a toy's pan was riddled with smallpox.
Oh, reliable report?
Yes, absolutely.
How did you get on with the meeting?
I reported the facts to the board. Unfortunately, the gentleman who controls that particular compound, Mr. Giddy, is also on the board. What's more, he's the brother-in-law, cousin or something, of the commissioner. He swears that there's no smallpox in his compound.
So he didn't get anywhere?
I agreed to one thing, that I may publish my report in the newspaper. At least then I might get public opinion on my side and force them to take action.
Yes, sir, I'm sorry.
I demand
I
to see the civil
orders.
Commissioner. I'm not leaving until I do see him.
But sir, you cannot go in there.
What's going on out here?
This secretary of yours said you weren't in.
I'd given order that I wasn't to be disturbed.
You don't want to be disturbed. You'd rather let people die.
What are you talking about?
I've just learned on the most reliable authority that Mr. Giddy's compound has more smallpox cases than ever, and the dead bodies are lying around unburied. And I want to know what you propose to do about it.
Well,
I tell you now what you're going to do. You're going to give me an order allowing me to enter that compound, law or no law. If you do not, I will cable a full report to Cape Town.
I don't think that an order from me would carry any weight in law.
I don't care. I'm determined to get into that compound.
Mr. Judge made out the order and handed it to Dr. Sauer.
Within an hour, I was on my way to Toy's Pan with about 100 sanitary police. On arrival at the compound in such force, I was at once admitted, but with a very bad grace. Every single European employee of the company being hostile. Needless to say, I found a disgusting state of affairs. The disease of smallpox can and does manifest itself in the following ways. First, the mild type, in which the patient has very few pox on, and is hardly necessary for him to go to bed. Secondly, there is the common type, in which the eruption is fairly thick, but never confluent. From this type, it shades into a true confluent case, which is practically always fatal. I found a large number of cases embracing all the types mentioned. Also the bodies, still unburied, of several men who had died of the disease. How many had been previously buried under false death certificates,
I never knew. Brandy? Thanks. Why are they so intent on hiding the truth? We could stop this epidemic in no time if we could deal with it properly.
They're afraid.
Of smallpox? But there'd be no problem if they'd admit the facts and let me start a thorough vaccination campaign.
No, they're not afraid of the disease. Most of them have been vaccinated privately. No, they're afraid that if word gets out that there's a smallpox epidemic here, all the native labor will run away. If that happens, the mines will have to close, and Kimberley will become a ghost town overnight. Hundreds of people will be ruined. That's what they're afraid of.
But don't they realize what they're doing? They're committing murder. They're condemning innocent people to death, merely because they won't admit that the situation is serious.
Oh, there's not much you can do on your own.
I'll fight them.
Oh, if you do that, Hans, mark my words, they'll destroy you.
Dr. Hans Sauer made up his mind that the only way to control the Kimberley smallpox epidemic was to get a public health act passed by the government. So his next move was to approach Mr. George Garcia Wolfe, a merchant and member of the Cape Parliament.
You asked to see me, Dr. Sauer.
Yes. I'm desperately worried about the situation here in Kimberley. And as you're one of our representatives, I thought you might be able to help me.
What is it? What's worrying you?
The smallpox.
Is it that bad?
I don't know. I can't know until I have the legal right to enter any place where I think there is smallpox. You see, no one can know what the situation is until the notification of cases is made compulsory. And it's made compulsory to be vaccinated.
You think that this should all be made a matter of law?
Yes.
It sounds a bit high-handed.
Look at this, please, sir. Dennis Doyle gave it to me to read a few days ago.
Public Health Act, Australia.
Yes, it's a brilliant piece of work. And it would suit our conditions exactly.
And you really consider that legislation is necessary?
Sir, this epidemic cannot be controlled without it. Wolfe entirely agreed with me and promised to submit the Australian Act as a model for the Cape Parliament to adopt at its coming session. I also wrote to my brother, J.W. Sauer, the member for Allowell North, and to many other prominent Cape politicians. This was all I could do for the moment, except that in my weekly reports to the Sanitary Board, I produced overwhelming proof that the disease ravaging the fields, called by the pink-slip doctors Felsett's disease, was nothing else but smallpox.
Yes, the war between Dr. Sauer and the anti-smallpox brigade was hotting up. Tempers on both sides were becoming frayed.
Good morning, Dr. Sauer. What can I do for you?
Where is your secretary, Mr. Judge?
In that room.
Thank you.
What do you want with him?
What do you want?
Is it true that you said that I only reported the disease as smallpox in order to make money out of it?
Well,
I have witnesses.
Well, Yes, I suppose I did say something.
That is a foul slander. You will sign this written apology, and then I intend to horsewhip you.
No, don't touch me. Keep back.
Put that
keep,
ruler
keep,
down.
Put it back down.
I shall give you a taste of what happens to men who commit slander.
What the devil is going on in here? What do you think you're doing, Doctor?
Seeing that justice is done.
Stop at once. Scandalous. You can't, I mean... Horsewhip a man in his own office.
The scandal, Mr. Judge, is that your secretary should commit libel. The secretary at once brought an action against me in the High Court of Griqualand West, claiming a large monetary indemnity. At the trial, I pleaded justification and claimed damages in reconvention for slander. The court awarded him £100.
Dr. Sauer may have lost the legal battle, but he'd won a far more important one. In 1883, the Cape Parliament passed the Public Health Act, which made vaccination and the notification of infectious diseases compulsory in the Cape Colony for the first time. With the passing of this act, most cases were now being reported promptly. There was, however, still a lack of cooperation in certain quarters.
Doctor? Dr. Sauer?
Yes?
Sauer?
What is it?
Sir, I'd like to ask you something. I was wondering whether you visited Mrs. Greenwood before she died.
No, she isn't one of my patients. I wasn't called in.
Well, I knew her well. Dr. Wolfe was her doctor. He said she died of pneumonia, but it wasn't pneumonia, sir.
What was it?
It was same as lots of other people have had.
Smallpox?
Yes, sir. I'd swear to it. I've seen it in the compounds. Some people call it Felsted's disease, but it's smallpox. I know it.
You're absolutely positive that that's what Mrs. Greenwood died of?
Yes, sir.
I see. Well, you didn't report it to me. And that's an offence now that the new law has been passed. Look, would you swear an affidavit that it was smallpox?
Well, is that really necessary, sir?
It might help save lives.
All right, then. I'll do it.
As soon as the man had sworn his affidavit, Dr. Sauer took it to the civil commissioner and demanded an exhumation order. The commissioner was reluctant, but at length agreed. When the body of Mrs. Greenwood was examined after disinterment, it was evident that she had died of confluent smallpox of the most severe type. Hans Sauer immediately reported the facts to the public prosecutor. About the same time, Dr. Sauer received a further report stating that there were a number of unreported smallpox cases in the Kimberley Hospital. Not being on the consulting staff, he hadn't up to that time visited the hospital. Now, with the Public Health Act behind him, he decided to call. He was met at the door by a sister.
What do you want, Dr. Sauer?
I've come to make an examination of the hospital and patients.
By what authority?
The authority of the new Public Health Act, sister. I also wish to see any bodies you might have in the mortuary. And I want to talk to the staff, male and female. Please, will you call them for me?
No.
I must tell you, sister, that the matter is serious and I advise you to obey.
You have absolutely no authority here. You can't give orders in this hospital.
In fact, I do. I have just that authority under the new Act. Furthermore, if you don't carry out my orders, I shall have you and the rest of the nursing staff quarantined as suspected smallpox cases.
The sister gave way. She assembled the staff, and Dr. Sauer found on examination that they'd all been vaccinated recently. He then demanded to see the wards. His request was reluctantly consented to. As he reached the third bed, Dr. Wolfe came storming in.
What the devil do you think you're doing?
Making an inspection of the hospital.
If you move to another bed, I'll have you thrown out of here.
I wouldn't advise it.
Throw this man out. Out in the yard.
See about that. Sergeant Forbes, throw that man out into the road.
Come on. What do you think you're doing? Look, put me down. Let me go. Would you get your hands up?
Wolf was ignominiously ejected from the ward, and I continued my inspection, during the course of which I actually found cases of smallpox in wards filled with other patients suffering from all sorts of diseases, not the slightest attempt at even local isolation having been made.
In his report on the matter, Sauer accused Dr. Jamieson of criminal neglect, and Jamieson retorted by saying that Sauer only diagnosed this disease as smallpox because of the money he was making out of vaccinations. They sued each other for slander, and the court awarded equal damages to both men. However, the efforts of some Kimberley doctors to cover up the true nature of the disease had already led to at least one tragedy. A smallpox case was reported in Bultfontein. The patient was a young married woman named Sarsfield. Dr. Sauer visited her and found her desperately ill.
There, my dear. That should help ease the pain a little. Now tell me, how do you think you caught the disease?
Not sure, sir.
Have you been in contact with anyone who's been sick?
Only Mrs. Greenwood.
Did you know her?
Oh, yes. She was a great friend.
When did you last see her?
I don't know. A week or two.
While she was sick?
Yes. But they said she had pneumonia. That couldn't give me this, could it?
Who said she had pneumonia?
Dr. Wolfe, I was going home the week before last sometime. I saw Dr. Wolfe coming out of our home. I knew she'd been ill, but I didn't know what it was. So I stopped and I asked the doctor how she was. He said she wasn't very well and that it was pneumonia. I asked him if I could go and see her, and he said yes.
He didn't warn you at all?
No. I asked him particularly because Well, I'm expecting a child. I didn't want to take any risks.
So you went into her room?
Yes. She looked so awful. I fainted and had to be taken home.
Now, I want you to think back carefully. When exactly was it that you saw Mrs. Greenwood?
It's Wednesday today, isn't it?
Yes.
It was Sunday before last.
17 days ago. Tell me, Mrs. Sarsfield, do you remember when you first felt sick?
Friday. I think it was Friday.
That was 12 days after you saw Mrs. Greenwood. Twelve days, that's proof. Proof that Mrs. Sarsfield caught the disease from Mrs. Greenwood. Do you realize what that means?
No, Dr. Sauer. What does it mean?
It means that Dr. Wolfe has committed murder.
Oh, come now. That's impossible. I mean, you can't suggest...
I can and I will. Mrs. Sarsfield is dead, and I intend charging Wolfe with her murder.
The public prosecutor was reluctant, but he did act. Dr. Wolfe was arrested and charged with the murder of Mrs. Sarsfield. The preliminary hearing was held before the magistrate, Mr. Trutter.
Now, tell me, Dr. Sauer, are you prepared to swear on oath that Mrs. Sarsfield could not possibly have contracted the disease anywhere else?
It's most likely that she caught it from Mrs. Greenwood.
Dr. Sauer, I didn't ask you what was likely. I asked you if you were prepared to swear that she could not have contracted it anywhere else.
Well,
is it true to say that Mrs. Sarsfield could have caught the disease almost anywhere?
Not anywhere. She would have had to have been in contact with a sick person.
And it is impossible to say that she was not in contact with another sufferer?
Yes. But in the case of Mrs. Greenwood, the incubation period is right.
I don't think that Dr. Wolfe has any case to answer.
But still, there was widespread belief in Kimberley that the disease was not smallpox, but a harmless, non-contagious skin disease. So once again, Dr. Sauer took the bull by the horns.
I wrote to Mr. George Garcia Wolfe and requested the government to send a medical commission or some medical man whose diagnosis the government would accept as final. The man chosen was Dr. Saunders.
On his arrival at Kimberley, Dr. Sauer drove Dr. Saunders out to the smallpox hospital. As they drew near the first ward, Dr. Saunders suddenly stopped.
It's not necessary to go any further. I can tell by the smell. There's nothing else like it.
Maybe, but I think you should see just one case to prove the point.
All right.
This way. There.
Typical case. Absolutely typical.
Aren't you going to look any further?
No. Let's get back to Kimberley.
I have no doubt that the disease at present prevailing in Kimberley is smallpox. Pure and simple.
This report finally settled the controversy on the nature of the epidemic on the fields. Dr. Sauer was now in a position to insist that all smallpox cases should be notified as such and under no other name. And further, that the notification should be made at the earliest possible moment. And so the great smallpox war came to an end. Though it resulted for a time in Dr. Hans Sauer becoming the most unpopular man on the diggings. He and Dr. Jamieson, however, were eventually reconciled, and Hans Sauer gave up medicine in 1890 in order to work with Cecil Rhodes. The moral of the story of the Great Smallpox War is perhaps that it never pays to try to cover up or hide from sight an outbreak of any contagious disease. Public support is needed in great measure to deal with it effectively, and this can only be obtained if the public are aware of the dangers. Incidentally, due to the worldwide scheme of notification and vaccination, smallpox is well on the way to becoming the first contagious disease to be completely eradicated.
Medical File, the documented story of the men and women who in hospitals, research centers, and lonely surgeries guard our lives. Listen again next week for another true story from Medical File.